us indeed. Psalm 67, the title, and these titles are inspired. They tell us who David gave these to, and the dedication, and sometimes the event or the time in which he wrote them. It's a psalm, as all the psalms are, songs given to the chief musician on Naginath. That's a musical instrument, like Gittith is a Gittite harp, and this is a stringed instrument. It's a psalm or a song that was commanded by David, given by David, to sing. They sang all of it. Sometimes I'd like to start learning some of the psalms that are in the Psaltery, you know, but they were in the Trinity hymnal that you all refused to sing. But we need to learn some of those sometime. They were played on instruments, and David himself was called the sweet psalmist, and he played a harp, and you'd like to have heard him play. I feel certain our Lord could play any instrument and play it quite well. God made music, and he had David make instruments, and I'm quite sure those instruments were the best. John, I'm sure they were made to perfection, often made out of cedar, as spoken of much in Scripture. But David said, let everything that hath breath, God said, let everything that hath breath praise. And I told you what praise means. It means that, literally, the word means to strike with the fingers on an instrument accompanied by your voice. You like music? You like to sing? You like to hear people sing? If you can't sing, you like to hear people sing. Well, God does. He said, sing unto me. And David appointed singers at God's appointment. And the psalms are poetry set to words. The reason we had trouble singing these in English is because they weren't written in English, but in Hebrew. And it had a poetic quality to it that our English language can't. But they were meant to be sung. Look at Ephesians 5 real quickly. A couple of epistles that tell us, and Paul does this and throughout his epistles. And remember when they, after they took the Lord's table together, that they sung a hymn and they went out into the garden. Ephesians 5:19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And singing helps us do that. Singing helps us do that. Singing helps us remember God's Word. I dare say that most of you know Psalm 121 by now, don't you? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. Someone put a good, well, Frank Swindy did. The best I've ever heard one of the psalms put to music. And it helps us remember that. So singing is good for the heart, good for the soul. Look at Colossians 3. Paul says the same thing in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to James, I'll turn for you. James says, is any merry? Are you happy? Sing psalms. So, go back to Psalm 67. There's seven verses in this psalm. As you know, seven throughout the Scriptures is a number, yeah, perfection, seven. Psalm 50 says this, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. And may His beauty shine forth out of this little Zion tonight through these seven verses. And may we worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Verse 1 says, God be merciful unto us, bless us, This is both a prayer and a declaration. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. God be merciful. That's the first thing. God be merciful. First thing. You know how many times the Psalms or all the Scriptures speak of God's mercy? Why is that? Because it's God's greatest glory and our greatest need. We're sinners. Moses said, Lord God, show me your glory. He said, I will. He said, I will be merciful. He said, I'll make my name, my goodness pass before you. I'll declare the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord God, merciful. Merciful. You read tonight, the Lord is gracious, merciful, plenteous in mercy. He delights to show mercy. The Lord taketh pleasure. It gives Him great pleasure, those that fear Him and hope in His mercy. Our greatest need is God's greatest glory. And so it should be our greatest reason for singing. Shouldn't it? Sing of His merciful. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. That's His name, merciful. Now mercy, as you know, most of you know, means not getting what we deserve. Someone said mercy is not getting what we deserve and grace is getting what we don't deserve. That's true. But mercy has a double meaning throughout the Scripture. It means not getting what we deserve. It means being spared. It also means kindness. Always. It means kindness. Not getting what we deserve. His mercy to us is for Christ's sake. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Spared us, but spared not His Son. He didn't give us. He hath not dealt with us after our sin. He dealt with Christ after our sin. He gave us mercy. He gave us Christ, gave Christ justice, didn't He? But He showed kindness to us the same reason, for Christ's sake. And in this, in the day, the ages to come, Ephesians 2:7 says, in the ages to come, He's going to show us the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy. God is merciful to us for Christ's sake. Like old Mephibosheth. You want to hear that? Mephibosheth. Maybe one of my favorite. There's so many Old Testament types. Ruth may be my favorite. Ruth chapter 3. Read it. If you hadn't read that in a while, read it. Just read that chapter. You'll shout. But Mephibosheth, I was just reading that. 2 Samuel 9. Where he said, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they said, there's one. He's down in the house of no bread and he can't come. He's lame. He said, go fetch him. So he showed him mercy. He was one of Saul's sons, and the rest of Saul's sons were killed. They're enemies of the house of David, and David killed them. But he showed mercy to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake, his beloved's sake. And that's the mercy of God to us in Christ, isn't it? So God be merciful to us. He has, He is, He will. And bless us. Bless us. Bless us. The blessing of the Lord. Did you hear the message on the radio Sunday? What a blessed passage it is. The Lord said to Moses to tell his preachers, Aaron and his sons, to speak to the children of Israel and tell them the Lord bless them and keep them. And make His face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and lift up His countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. And He said, and put My name on them. Put My name on them. Call them My sons. And He said, I will bless them. I will. He said, to tell them that. Tell them, the Lord bless you. He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. He'll in no wise cast you out. Oh, what a blessing that is. He's going to cast out many. He's going to keep all those people that are in Christ. And cause His face, verse 1, to shine upon us. Go to Isaiah 8. quote this quite often, because this is so such a description of the times we live in, dark times. Isaiah 8, the last part of the chapter says the people of the world fret themselves, hungry, fret themselves. Verse 21, they curse their king, their God. That's about all you hear God's name. And look upward and they look unto the earth and behold trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, driven to darkness. That's this world in. That was Egypt. Nothing new under the sun. That was Egypt. Right before the Lord took his people out, it says it was darkness so thick that he could feel it. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They weren't in darkness as others. They had light. Why? Because the light, the knowledge, the glory of God had shone upon them in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say Christ was in the... Yes, he was. That lamb that was slain. Right there is the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the light, the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, the blood of the Lamb. And we do too, don't we? He's caused his face to shine upon it. Stop. Selah. It's a musical rest. What would music be like, Jeanette, without rests? Stops. Robin, these ladies know the value of rest and stop. They appreciate a rest while you're playing. But what it does, it pauses. Catch your breath while you're singing, while you're playing. Let's hear that last note. It means stop. Think about what you just read. Think about what was just said. Meditate. Ponder. It's all through the song. Selah. It's not really meant to be read. It's just a pause. And then Spurgeon said it means now lift it up. Second verse, same as the first. Lift it up. Spurgeon said it means the next verse, sing it louder. After a poem. Look at the next verse. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health upon all nations. Thy way. That thy way may be known. Oh, may God be merciful and bless, cause his face, the gospel of Christ, our Lord, shine upon this earth, upon our nation. This psalm is a psalm for salvation of the nation. You know that? He's praying to God for the whole nation of Israel and the world, the earth. Wouldn't that be something? And the Lord sent a great revival. And he says, make thy way, that thy way may be known upon that. What is God's way? Well, this is God's way, God's truth. And in Genesis, right before the flood, God said the whole earth had corrupted his way. That's his truth. His worship, corrupted, it's full of Bible. So God said, I'm going to destroy it. And that's now. Oh, Lord, send the gospel that men may know thy way. There is a way that seemeth right unto men and women and young people. But what is it? It ends in destruction. This is the way I see it. That's what man says. This is the way I see it. Every man does that which is right in his own eye, but it's wrong. It's only one way. What's the way? It's one way. Christ said, I'm the Lamb. No man cometh unto his Father but by me. Nobody gets to God except through Jesus Christ. Nobody. Doesn't matter who they are. You say, but the Muslims haven't heard. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Haven't they not all heard? Paul said that 2,000 years ago. Yeah, verily the sound is going throughout there. As the old writers used to say, if a man would walk in the light God gives him, he'll give him more light. Till finally, God will show him
Jesus Christ, the light.
There's a sun that comes up every day that tells all human beings the Son of God reigns. Oh, let thy way be known upon the earth, thy saving health. Well, this goes two ways, you know that? Spiritually and physically. Because of sin and unbelief. That's why sickness comes. Isaiah 1 says the whole head is sick. Our society is sick. Our world is sick. From the way they walk, the way they think. Everything about it. There's no soundness in them. That's leprosy. No soundness in them. Oh God, send the gospel that heals lepers. Get the mind of Christ. Put them in the way of righteousness to walk by faith in Him. And then there's physical sickness that God sends because of sin and unbelief. Well, that's right. God sends these things. Man doesn't know his Creator. Man doesn't recognize his Creator. This is a prayer for the nation, for the world, sin-sick sinners, for the saving health, the salvation of mind, soul, spirit, and body. And Christ is that way. Salvation. Saving, healing power of God. When our Lord sent His disciples out, this was the order He told them to go. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, heal the sick. Right after that, preach the gospel and heal the sick. Cast out devils. The gospel is what does that. The gospel heals the sick. And literally, the Lord sends His judgment and wrath upon a society for its sins. Literally, physical illness and sickness. So, Lord, He prays, send Thy way upon the earth. That's why our Lord said, pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray, He said, for salvation, Thy saving health among the nations. Verse 3, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. This is like a chorus. See that? Because it's repeated in verse 5. If we knew the poetic, if we knew Hebrew, we could see the poetry in this and the musicality of it. But it's like a chorus. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. However He sang it, it was a chorus. And then He repeated it after the next line. Let the people praise Thee. Throughout the Scriptures, it speaks of the heathen. That's people that don't know God. And it talks about God's people. Psalm 2 says the heathen imagine a vain thing, rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. We're His people. Do we have reason to praise Him? Let the people praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise God from whom all blessings. You know that? Praise, sing it with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let the people praise Him. Say we're not supposed to do that during a message. Why not? Where does it say that? Well, we don't do that. Well, we ought to. Let the people praise Him. Let all the people praise Him. If you have reason to praise Him, has the Lord been merciful to you? Kind to you? Gracious to you? It was Spurgeon that said this. He said, people sing for what various reasons. They sing because they're supposed to. Sing because they ought to. Sing for entertainment. They sing out of habit or sing out of this. But he said, real singing is from the heart made glad. It's from the heart that's made this overjoyed with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, we ought to have reason to praise Him. We do. We do. If the Lord's been merciful to you and gracious to you, listen to this. Isaiah 66. Let me turn over there for you. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord. Well, that's not it. That's not what I want to do. This tells us to sing. Psalm 66. Yeah, no one. Psalm 66. Right beside it. Verse 1. Isaiah 66. Just as good. But look at verse 1. All through the psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Verse 4. All the earth shall worship thee, shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Verse 16. David said, come and hear, all ye that fear God. I'll do it. I'll declare. I'll sing unto him. Oh, look down at chapter 68, verse 4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Sing. Verse 19, bless the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He that is our God is a God of salvation. Down in verse 26, bless the Lord in the congregation. Verse 28, thy God hath commanded strength. Verse 27, it talks about, verse 25. The singers went before, the players on instrument followed, the damsels playing with timbrels. Can you see this procession, David and the people? David was coming into Israel, coming into Jerusalem with that ark. He'd been gone a long time. And he was so happy. He himself had been exiled. He was so happy bringing the ark back. He put an ephod on like a priest. He put an ephod and he was dancing from that ark. Just so glad. People, everybody was playing, singing and dancing all that way. Hallelujah. The gospel has come back. God hadn't left us. David said he hadn't left me in exile. He brought me back to my people. Well, his wife, Micah, didn't know the Lord. And it disgusted her. I said, you made a spectacle of yourself. And God smote her. So he was barren all her days. And David said, if that's vile, I'm going to be more vile from now on. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. You say, I can't sing. Then make a joyful noise. Some of the best singing I've heard is for people that can't carry a tune. Honestly, there's some in here that can't. They sing anyway. Verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. The nations have reason to sing? Yes, they do. It's of the Lord's mercies that they're not concerned.
Right.
Psalm 145 says his tender mercies are over all of his work. How's that? He feeds everybody.
That's right.
Everything that hath breath and life, God feeds them. What they need, he feeds them. Everybody ought to give thanks unto him. If all men, we teach our young people to sing. They ought to, whether they know the Lord or not. They ought to. Maybe, just maybe, someday they'll take that from here and here and put it in their heart. If all men and women would but see something of the goodness and mercy of a God upon all his work, how he feeds and clothes and provides us, if men and women would repent and give thanks, God, pour out his blessing. Pour out his spirit. He would. Verse 4 says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Our God does right. The judge of the earth does right. And that includes Christ, because all judgment is committed unto him. He's the Lord. He's the one God's given this universe into the hands of to judge. And he does what's right. And he's so merciful. He's so gracious. He's so kind. He said over and over, let the wicked forsake his way. Let him turn it to the Lord. He said he will not just pardon, abundantly pardon. Our God's good. He said, all manner of sin, doesn't matter what, just be forgotten, be wiped out, separated from the east. John read my favorite Psalm, 103. And said, he separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Go eastward. Find where it begins. Can you? Well, if you could, then go west. There is no. It doesn't end. And then it talks about his mercy higher than heaven. Start going north. There's no end. That's God's mercy. Oh, let the people pray. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad. He judges the people righteously. He governs the nation. You know, our Lord's laws, his spiritual laws, are holy and just and good. There's nothing wrong with God's law. What's wrong is us.
Right.
He said, if you be willing and obedient, eat the good of the Lamb. But we're not. Thank God he sent Christ, the law keeper, our substitute. His natural laws are good. Aren't they good? His natural laws are holy and just and good. Full of mercy and grace. After the flood, God said, I won't destroy the world anymore by flood. I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky to show all mankind. And what has man done with that? But it's a bow to show God's so merciful that there's mercy in the ark, in Christ Jesus. A rainbow to show God said, I'm not going to destroy this world by flood anymore. It's the mercy of God. He said there's going to be springtime and summer and harvest and winters as long as earth exists. He's going to send food and any good. Any good. Ah, boy. His natural laws are wonderful. He governs a nation upon earth. Stop and think about that. He governs all. Why hadn't man killed himself off yet? Because our Lord reigns. That's why. Why didn't that little fellow over North Korea drop a bomb on him? Because Jesus Christ wouldn't let him. That's why. He governs. He reigns. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Everybody. Everybody. Verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase. Then shall the earth yield her increase. When sin entered this world, it cursed the ground. You know that? That Garden of Eden was beautiful. Indescribable. The new earth is going to be so beautiful that the former won't even come to mind. Get a hold of that, and we're going to be in it. Grapes like Esco. That's something to think about. It without sin, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the earth was glorious and beautiful, and then sin entered. Thorns, thistles, pain, suffering, sweat, blood, tears. Weeds, rocks, and the soil. Curse the earth. But not completely. God is so merciful. He said, now you're going to have to work real hard for your bread. Adam didn't have to work at all before. Now you got to work real hard for your bread. Sweat of thy brow, you'll earn your bread. Oh, he said, but if the people would just praise him, if the people would just praise him, give thanks, repent, call on his name, the earth would yield her increase. Go throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that God judged this land, and he's still doing it, with drought. And water is such a picture of God's mercy and grace in Christ. Nothing Christ said, I'm the water. Of life. And if God withholds water, we die. You can't go more than 3 days that water. I can't even go
Now I can hardly go 8 hours. You get used to drinking water, you can't go without it. Wake up so thirsty, don't we? The middle of the night. Thank God for water. Thank God for Christ. This world, we live in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. We've got a rock, Brother Kelly, that God keeps pouring out the water. And that rock is Christ. But the earth will yield its increase. And God says, even God, our own God. See, this God is our God, to whom belong salvation. And he shall bless us. Now, this is a promise. He has. He is. What you're doing right now is the blessing. You're blessed. We just don't realize it. We just don't realize. We've forgotten the pit from which all of us, to a great extent, have forgotten where we came from. And what a blessing it is that we're sitting here right now, hearing that. I told Brother John, he dropped by again. And we had such a good time, didn't we, John? But I told him there was a time when the songs of Zion, these hymns, I didn't want to hear them. I remember as an 18, 19-year-old boy, my parents would be singing or playing these hymns, and it was, I don't want to hear that. I got to get out of here. I remember thinking that. I want to weep thinking about it, but I did. I remember thinking that, oh, that's noise. I don't like that. Here I am. I love it. Nothing gives me more joy than seeing this hymn. I've seen it on the faces of young people come in here out of habit or duty or whatever and can't wait to get out. Oh, my. May the Lord bless them with salvation, healing, grace. God shall bless us. Verse 7. God shall bless us. He shall. He has. He is. He shall. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Out of every tribe. Here's how good God is. Out of every kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, God has people. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. How many kindreds are there? How many families are there? Out of every family. Nation. How many nations are there? Godless nation. Huh? Muslim, Buddhists, all that. Hindu. God's got some people there. China, got some people there. Isn't it good? And they all shall fear him. This psalm is a psalm of praise, of joy and gladness and thanksgiving. But it ends with fear. Can you both fear God and praise God? Joy and fear? You must. That's Psalm 2. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. He taketh pleasure in them that fear him. So yes, we must. We do. That's how you know God's people. They fear him. And you know, this fear, when you fear the Lord, then he shows you his mercy and his goodness to you in Christ Jesus, Lord. Then you rejoice. You think, he ought to cast me out. And then you hear, I know why he's cast you out. Then you sin and you fear again. You come back to him and he tells you again, I'm not cast you out. Yes, joy, mingled with fear. Gladness, mingled with fear. Let the people praise him, oh God. And let all the people praise him. Stand with them. Oh God. Our God, our own God, we praise you, praise your holy name, as much as lieth within us. Oh Lord, we want to praise you and worship you as we should. Forgive us our feeble attempts. Forgive us. As the song says, in vain we tune our formal song. In vain we strive to rise. Hosannas languish on our tongue and our devotion dies. We ought to praise Thee from the top of our lungs, the bottom of our heart. We don't. Forgive us for Christ's sake. But make us glad. Make us glad. And deliver us from unbelief. Show us all the reasons we have to be glad. The greatest of all is Thy mercy endureth forever. We pray these things and give thanks and met here tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.